everybody, and welcome to episode number 12 of the Gaelic Athlete Podcast with me, Conor O'Neill from Know Yourself Nutrition. Hope everyone is doing well this week. This week I wanted to talk about a supplement which is creatine. Now, this is something that you might have heard me speaking about before, whether it's through social media or blog articles. And the reason for that is that creatine is one of the most researched sports supplements there are, and one that actually has benefits as opposed to a lot of the supplements which are quite costly and are touted to do a lot but don't actually do much. So what is creatine? Well, firstly, creatine is not a steroid, regardless of what some of the things you may have read online might say. It is actually a combination of amino acids, and it is found in foods like beef and fish, as well as being naturally produced within the body. So for a bit of background, before speaking about creatine, it is important to first talk about the basics of energy production within the body. So ATP, or adenosine triphosphate, is the energy currency within the body. And regardless of where you get your energy from, whether that be the carbohydrates or the fat or protein that you've eaten, it must first be used to create ATP. And that ATP is what is used to create the energy to contract a muscle, for example. There is only a small amount of ATP stored within the body at one time, and it relies on being quickly used and quickly replaced in order to keep up with the activity being done, so that you can continue to do that activity. As you may know by now, carbohydrates are the body's predominantly source of fuel, especially in high intensity activities, such as a Gaelic football match, for example. This is because carbohydrates, or rather glucose, the broken down form of carbohydrate, can be stored within the muscle in sufficiently high amounts for this type of activity, as well as having the ability to produce ATP at a relatively quick rate. However, when we go to either extreme of intensity, such as slower, less intense bouts of activities, or short, extremely intense bouts, carbohydrates aren't always optimal for the job. The low intensity activity that we go through every day doesn't need the high energy turnover of carbohydrates. And given that carbohydrates' energy production is less efficient, so less of the energy stored as carbohydrate provides ATP, the body tends to skew its energy source a bit more towards fat. Fat produces more ATP than carbohydrates, but it also produces it at a slower rate, hence it would be better used for lower intensity activities, but wouldn't be suitable to high intensity activities, where fat would be unable to replace the used ATP at a high enough rate. On the other end of the scale, when we look at really short, intense activities like full speed sprints, heavy weightlifting in the gym, and jumping, even carbohydrates struggle to replace the used ATP quickly enough. In this case, the body will turn to what's known as the phosphocreatine, or the creatine phosphate system, which creates ATP much more quickly than carbohydrates or fat can, but can only keep producing ATP quickly for a short amount of time. This kind of reminds me of the old PlayStation game Need for Speed, where you raced cars, and if you needed a quick start or an energy boost to overtake an opponent, you could use the NOS button to get a short boost, but it only lasted for a few seconds. That's kind of like the creatine phosphate system. In sporting terms, this is easily seen by going for a maximal sprint speed and observing the point where you begin to slow down, or if you go for a few repetitive jumps and observe the point where you are no longer able to jump as high as the first few jumps. The creatine phosphate system produces ATP at a rate that is limited partly by the amount of creatine present within the body. Without getting too deep into the weeds, or deeper than I have done already, when creatine is either created in the body or consumed through diet or supplements, it joins to a phosphate to form creatine phosphate. This phosphate molecule can then be used to replace the phosphate in the broken down ATP to form more ATP. Don't worry if I lost you there throughout the last couple of minutes. All I'm really saying is that creatine helps you to recycle ATP, and that allows more ATP, or more energy, to be produced in a short, intense activity. So before going on, it is worth noting that these systems don't work independently. They are all operating at once in different amounts. For example, even in something like a marathon event, typically thought of as a lower intensity activity, a combination of fats and carbohydrates will also be used, as well as the phosphocreatine system contributing. So why should we supplement with creatine? Well, although creatine can be produced in the body and consumed through foods like meat and fish, the amounts that we can get in these ways isn't close to what we can get in supplemental form. Hence, to attain the benefits associated with increased creatine levels in the body, supplementation is recommended. Well, how can it help then with GA? Creatine has been shown to be beneficial in activities in the 0 to 10 second range, including sprinting, lifting weights, jumping, etc., as well as improving strength and muscle gain. This is largely down to the benefits with regards to the creatine phosphate system that I mentioned earlier. There are other potential benefits, however, specifically for the strength and muscle building aspects. Firstly, creatine helps hydrate the cells. This can lead to an increased body weight, which, along with the other benefits of creatine, can lead to improvements in strength, but also gives the appearance of the muscle being bigger. Now, it is worth considering that you may not want this extra body weight, especially if running speed is something that you want to maintain. However, the performance benefit of the extra creatine may outweigh the downsides of the slight increase in body weight. This is something that is going to be very much dependent on the individual, their goals, and how they react to creatine supplementation. It's also worth noting that if you are in a fat loss phase, the increase in body weight associated with creatine supplementation may mask the fat loss progress by altering the weight you see on the scales. This isn't to say that you shouldn't supplement with creatine when trying to lose weight, but rather that you should be aware of these potential changes. So one question might be, is it safe? Well, despite what some of the media might have you believe, creatine has not been shown to be harmful to health if taken within the recommended range. It is the most researched sports supplement on the market, and there haven't been any health problems associated with it. However, it is advised that those with pre-existing kidney conditions should perhaps refrain from supplementing with creatine due to lack of research done in that area. So getting on to how to use creatine. The recommended dose for creatine is 3 to 5 grams per day. With creatine, the aim is to saturate the cells with it over time, and therefore it is important to consistently supplement daily. There are a lot of different creatine supplements out there, but I recommend using a creatine monohydrate. Whilst there are a lot of other types that claim to be superior, none have really shown to be, and since creatine monohydrate is usually the least expensive, I recommend using that. From what we've gone through in this podcast, you may be thinking that you should be taking it before the type of activities that it improves, such as before a training session or football match, but it doesn't work in this short-term way, in the way that something like caffeine might do. It takes weeks for creatine to fully saturate the cells. For that reason, the time of day that you take it is largely unimportant. So I usually just recommend simply taking it at a time that you'll remember to take it every day. So if you usually have a shake after training, then you can simply mix it in with that. Or if you usually take supplements in the morning, then adding in creatine here could be an easy way to remember to take it. Another question that often comes up when talking about creatine is, do you need to load it? Meaning taking a larger amount than the recommended dose when you first start taking it. Whilst this can help saturate the cells more quickly, I usually recommend just taking the standard dose from the start, as opposed to loading it. People can sometimes report digestive upset when they take beyond the standard dose. As well as this, if you are going to experience weight gain in the form of extra water stored in the muscles, this is likely to happen more quickly if you load it, and this may not be ideal. Imagine training one week at 75 kilograms and the next week at 78. That's an extra few kgs to carry around without having adapted to an increased body weight over time. Not that people will always see as drastic a body weight increase as this, but it's an example to illustrate the point. So in summary, creatine is a safe, effective supplement for those who want to improve performance in high-intensity sports such as GAA sports, as well as those who want to gain muscle and strength. Supplementing with 3 to 5 grams per day over the long term can lead to these results. So thanks very much for listening this week. If you do have any questions on today's topic, or you would like to see a different topic covered in a future episode, just let me know by messaging me on social media. Instagram is usually the best place to get me, or by emailing me at knowyourselfnutrition@gmail.com. For now, thank you very much for listening, and I will speak to you again next week.